I get sick of stupid doctrine that's empty-headed and moronic, and a person just clings to it with pride. Calvinism, just clinging to it with pride because you're too proud to let that trash go to be used by God to really do a work for God. It's becoming idiotic now, and you make yourself look so silly, still trying to argue and debate that silly stupidity instead of just repenting and letting the filth go. Good night. Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. When Hebrews chapter 1 tells you, to what angel has he said at any time, sit you to my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool? To what angel has he said this to at any time? And then you fall back into this stupid moronic doctrine saying Michael the Archangel is Jesus. Mormons, Jesus and the devil are brothers. Just going on and on and on with insane dribble. And the folks running around down here, incapacitated and arrested, believing silly foolishness that's going to cost them their lives. That's why I addressed it. This is not going to be something that's just neutral. It's going to cost you your eternal life believing a lie. And if nobody will confront it, they're not worth the dust it took to make them. Talking about we got to love everybody. You can't love a lie. You got to confront a lie. The love is portrayed through telling the truth to offset the lie. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Listen to that phrase. Contradiction of sinners. He endured the contradicting of the sinners. Everything he did, they tried to contradict it, tried to find a flaw with it. He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint where? See where the battleground is? The battleground is in your mind. Your mind is controlling your emotions. Your emotions shouldn't dictate to your mind. Your mind should focus on the word of God and bring your emotions into subjection to the word of God anchored in your mind. But now we got it operating in reverse. The emotions are controlling the mind. You're going to go crazy. You'll be driven insane if your emotions control your mind. Because it's going to do what? Undermine logic functions. You're not logical when you're emotional. You won't listen to logic because emotions are governing you. Anytime I listen to an emotional man, I know that guy is messed up badly. Because he tries to get you to be emotional like him. I don't feel nothing about it. Cry a river. Get up and do what you're supposed to do. My daddy was a drunk. Drunk himself to death in his early 60s. He was always somewhere crying and whining. See, a drunk man talks drunk gibberish. They want this emotion. He cries into his bottle about his bad times and what life has done to him and whining and pining away. And he's a weak man because the alcohol is the only thing that gives him comfort. You ever heard it said that a drunk man speaks a sober man's mind? So the alcohol is his what? Huh? It's his confidence. It's his boldness. It's his manhood. And the other time when he's sober, he can't say or do anything. But the alcohol is his bravery because the alcohol is a demon. So now the demon of alcohol is talking to you big and bad. That guy in the club that came to you talking all that smooth talk and talking all that big talk to you about what he wants to do to you and for you. That's drunk talk. When he's sober, you know what he's going to do? Take your stuff, use your car, live in your house, and eat your pottage, just like one of the three little bears. That joke, he talking drunk talk in the club, and you sitting there drunk having had about 5 7 and 7s yourself, and it sounded good to you. Two drunk boobs sitting up at a bar believing each other's lies. Baby, I've been looking to get married for the last 3 years. And then I saw you when I walked in the club. I said, you know what? That's the lady I need to make my life complete. Can you give me another shot of that 1800 so I can finish this sentence? I ran out of steam because I started sobering up. Give me another shot. And I'll tell you the rest of the story like Paul Harvey. Look, listen. This is drunk talk, man. Drunk talk, woman. You were a smooth talking woman when you were drunk. Emotionalism will make you drunk. That's why the Bible says in Revelation, the people will be drunk with the fornication, the wine of the harlot. She's making folk drunk. Because your intellect is undermined when you're drunk. You've been mentally incapacitated by some type of an aphrodisiac, some type of a psychotic drug, some kind of an infiltration into the mind that makes you unable to process truth and information that is sound. You're drunk. You're in a drunken stupor. Religious people are drunk. So when they hear me talking to them, they're so drunk that their religion won't let them conceive of what I'm saying, process it logically, look at the scriptures with an open mind, evaluate the scripture, and come to a logical conclusion based on the data and information provided by the scripture. They're drunk. A drunk can't think. A drunk can't pass a math class. They walk around all the time in a witchcraft-induced drunk. They're drunk. You don't sit over in a new birth with Eddie Long after finding out what he did and just sit there unless you're what? You're drunk. And defend his actions. Creflo telling you to go back. He made a mistake. What kind of allegiance do you have to this man? What's yoking y'all together that you give that kind of advice, man? Something ain't right. Like one brother said, something ain't clean in the milk. You don't look at evidence like that and then tell people, just go back and love your brother. My brother? Something's not right, man. You better start thinking with that 5 pounds of gray matter between your ears and not just running around with your emotions engaged. You better think and not feel. Think. Look at this. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. In other words, nobody killed you about striving against sin. Not yet. So what are you talking about? Like you're going through so much. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint or give up when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chastens and scourges. You know what discouraging is? A whipping. He will whip your butt, whether it be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental. Butts look the same to God. He will whip them all. Scourges every son whom he receives. If he don't scourge you, he ain't receiving you. If you do what? Endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? What son is born of a father that is not disciplined by that father? Told you what it just said down in Proverbs 19, verse 18. But if you be without chastisement, the word there is discipline, whereof all are partakers, man, woman, chicken, child, or duck, everybody getting their butt whipped up in here. Not by me, by God. He is going to whip you. He's going to discipline you. He's going to correct you. He's going to reprove you. He's going to rebuke you. He's going to get you to obey. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you're not chastened, you're not a son of God, you're a bastard. And it's nothing more fruitless than to sit here and preach the gospel to a bunch of bastards over the internet deceiving themselves, believing they're saved, void of chastisement. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why are you chastening us, God? That we might be partakers of his holiness. He is separating us from the world through chastisement. When you get close to the world, God will beat your little butt and drive you back from it. He'll make the world a living hell for you. When you start going through something and can't figure it out, he's pushing you back from the world. You're letting it in. You're getting proud again. You're getting arrogant again. You're getting independent of God again. So you're going to be chastened. Paul said one time, I turned some guys over to Satan. Why? That they might learn not to blaspheme. So they'll be disciplined by the devil to learn not to blaspheme. Where did he get this from? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Why did he say this? Where did he get it from? See, when the Bible says something in the New Testament, a lot of times he's just talking from the Old Testament. He's just quoting what God said eons ago. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 11 here in chapter 3. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. That's what the chastening will do for you. It'll give you wisdom and understanding on how to conduct affairs in this life. It'll give you the discipline to go through without falling prey to the devil's snares. What's wrong with men? They haven't been chastened. They're not disciplined. They can't stand in the midst of a battle and not faint and not run and not give up. You know, a lot more women have intestinal fortitude to stand in the midst of conflict than a man. They'll stand there and go toe to toe and not bow down while a man is saying, babe, just let it go. All right, you know, they took the $25, but hey, you know, that's their thing. And babe, just let it go. And the woman says, I'm not letting anything go. That's my $25. I want my $25 back. I remember one time we had bought a brand new car, and the thing just went, I don't know what was wrong with it. You remember what was wrong with the bumper? It was something wrong with the brakes or something. I can't remember what it was. How it was the brakes? Brand new. Man, I had to write letters. I had to go to the governor's office, enact the lemon law. Man, I was going back and forth with those folks through letters, through the phone, letters written, writing the state, talking to the governor's office. So they finally scheduled a hearing for us to hear the case. It might have been like Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, the hearing. Scheduled to go and arbitrate this claim. About 9 o'clock Wednesday night, the car company called. See, they take you right there. Now, they knew the hearing was scheduled for the next morning. Mr. Price, we released $3,200 for you to go and pick out another car, go to any dealership, and we have a certificate here for you to use in any dealership in order to replace your car. Now, we hate, you know, the confusion. Yeah, man, right. So, of course, we went and traded up to a better car. Think back then, it was a minivan. We went from a Dodge Caravan to a, what was it? Grand Caravan. Huh?
No, we had
a Grand Caravan.
But we went to a Caravan.
No, we went to the other one. What was the other one?
No.
The Town and Country. We went up to the Town and Country. Might as well just go on, since we got the certificate and everything, we might as well go on and take it to the max here. And get, sir, we want everything that comes on this as an option. Do you have the luxury addiction of it? Because see, sometimes you just gotta fight the folk tooth and nail, and not and see with the devil. You gotta be too honorary to give up. Just I refuse to bow. I will not bow. I don't care what you do to me, what you say to me, what you send me through. I will not bow to the devil. You got to be just inside of you, just too ornery to bow. I get a lot of inputs. I get a lot of folks talking to me. I get a lot of stuff coming at me. I don't care what you say. This is the way you better walk in it. See, you're proud, price. You're arrogant. You're dictatorial. Nobody can talk to you. We're trying to get a dialogue established. We've got to come to agreement. We've got to compromise. We ain't got to do none of that. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. I've had every hip-hop argument you can hear. You're wrong. Change. You can't bring that trash in here. I've had everybody give me an exegesis on why a woman can pastor a church. You're wrong. Right. Change. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus is against you. That's the way it is. See, you're proud. I'm not proud. You're proud. Because I'm giving credence to the word of God and you refuse to. That's pride. Yeah. The word of God is right. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. What God wrote in this book is true. You stand on it. I don't care how contrary the winds are blowing. I don't care what relatives. I don't care if your mama, your daddy, your uncle is a pastor. Your sister is a woman pastor. I don't care if everybody in your family is cursing you and telling you you're a cult member. You're in a brainwashed cult. While you're pastoring the church, I'm in a cult, woman. You're the one in rebellion against the word of God, and yet you place me in the cult. You see how crazy it is? That's why you've got to know the word of God for yourself. And like the song says, I decided to make a stand. I didn't know I'd lose all of my friends. But you got to stand. That's why the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, armor clad, and don't bow to the devil. That's what a man will do. That's what a woman of God will do. Everything else is nothing but a bunch of junk. Look at Isaiah chapter 3, and we'll begin to dissect the problem. Let's take a look at the problem and dissect it a little bit. What's got a man walking around as a panty waist, unable to do anything now? He's like gum under the bottom of everybody's shoes. I mean, it's pitiful what a man has become on this planet. But I got to believe that God has still, just like the Marines, a few good men. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, say you to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. The righteous, you're going to be all right. You'll eat of the fruit of your righteous behavior. But woe unto the wicked, it's going to be ill with you physically, financially, mentally, and emotionally. You're going to have illness bathing your soul. Now look at what he says. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Let that sink in. Children push them down and women rule over them. Oh, God talking to his people, my people. They which lead thee, that word for lead is the word for bless and guide you. Those that are blessing you and guiding you, they cause you to be involved in what? Error. And destroy the way of thy paths. Oppressive children and women leading the army is destroying the army. You can't see this? Look around. Look at all the reality shows. Divas, women, giving images that are actually influencing the young girls to actually emulate these whores, witches, and kooks. Empty-headed vagabond whores giving reality shows and millions of dollars and promote it as the example of femininity and womanhood. Look at this trash. I'm just talking today. This is trash. It's garbage. It's low-life scumbag living. And folks sit around and drink it down all day. Whores. Teaching your little girl to be a whore, a slut, a tramp, dropping babies out of wedlock like a dog in heat on in the front of your house on the street. Stinking, nasty, low life, scumbags. And they get mad at me because I'm not giving my opinion. I'm giving you a definition of activities. This is the definition of what you're doing. Everybody wants to downgrade and degrade themselves to the lowest level of living now. And because there's an equilibrium found with others there at that low level scumbag life type, they become the norm. The normative now is to be a whore, trash, a slut, and to dress like that. Go to Walmart. My example of everybody's life is found in Walmart. Folks walk in Walmart looking like a 42nd Street hooker. You got on stockings as pants. Booty shorts with both of your cheeks hanging out the bottom. Your breast in everybody's face. With no shame. How do you walk outside like that with no shame appended to you? Then you'll tell me you're a square. Hey, look, decency, morality, honor, and dignity is not confined to any generation. That's the normal mindset of a human being, especially a woman. A woman does not get naked in front of everybody if she's normal. There's something wrong with these people. They've been accosted by the devil and it's driven them insane. To be on the beach in a bikini, which is nothing but a bra and your panties. Most folk got more material on their bra and panties than they do on a bikini. You see them on the beach in thong bikinis. Ma'am, do you realize both of your butt cheeks are exposed to the public? She has no ability to process that. Mind so eaten away by the parasite she's ingested through the mediums. Then now the parasitical damage done to her mind makes her believe this is normal. I'm normal. Girls coming out of college with 30 sexual partners. Souls eaten away by all these parasites. Eaten away by maggots that came from all these guys and women they had sex with. You know how many girls come out of college bisexual? Because the dorms have become nothing but a sex pool of bisexuality. They sleep with each other in the dorm rooms with all kinds of sex toys and all kinds of gadgets to stimulate each other. No man around. Girl, let's get together tonight and we'll get each other off. And still have a boyfriend when they go back home from college. And they become what? Androgynous. They become bisexual. They have no sexual identity. And get married like that, have kids like that, and still have other women partners. And we're walking around in this cesspool every day. You see them in the store, you work beside them, you go to church and sit next to them in the pew. Freaks in church, hands raised and singing songs, and going back home and living a freak life with no confrontation. That's why a man is needed to stand up and chasten the children of God. God uses male patriarchal authority in his church to chasten his family because a man must stand up and proclaim the whole counsel of the living God to chasten God's children so they'll be obedient to his word. Look what he says. They destroy the way of your path. What he's talking about, this is a life pathways. Your life is being destroyed because you have children oppressing you and women leading you. Children who haven't even been here 10 years trying to tell you what to do, oppressing you. You bowing down to the dictates of a child, an empty-headed child, not knowing the way, not knowing anything, trying to tell you what's appropriate. That's crazy. You'd be better off dead than to let a child dictate to you. You'd be better off dead as a man than to have a woman sitting up as your pastor. And the word pastor doesn't even have a feminine presentation in the Greek. There is no pastoress in the Greek. Pastor is a masculine word. You see women on the internet call themselves a prophet. You can be a prophetess woman, but there is no woman prophets. Everything's bathed in so much ignorance now that to correct it makes everybody mad at you. There is no feminine word for the word pastor. There is no pastoress. He made it pastor on purpose to let you know that the word, the noun, is appended to male character. That's on purpose. I don't like that. You know what you better do, woman? You better get down on your knees, lay prostrate on your face in your room tonight and cry yourself a river. Repent before the living God and ask him to expunge that delusion out of your soul before you end up in hell as a Jezebelian rebel against the living God, using that witchcraft in his church, trying to bind his people. That's what you better do, and I'll run before I take it back. I ain't Joel Osteen. You better change. You better repent. See, I don't like no man pointing his finger in my face telling me what I better do. That's the problem you have right there. That's your problem, not mine. That's your problem. I hate male authority. That's why I'm trying to hijack God's church. Guess what? God is not abdicating his church to you. You can deceive yourself and have 10,000 people sitting there like Paula White and be a witch controlling 10,000 people with unlawful authority, and the people too ignorant to know we've been bound by the dictates of a Jezebel spirit divining witchcraft on our minds and happy about it. You better wake up. You better wake up. Children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err. Young boys in the pulpit trying to be pastors and teachers and preachers. Your child, I know nothing about this. Sit down, man, and be seasoned and disciplined under somebody that knows the way. That junk you're reading on the internet, that stuff you're studying and researching to get messages, is defiled garbage. They don't know God. You reading a bunch of junk and then preaching it as fact because you have no what? No experience. No experience to teach you. You don't know anything about this. You're taking secondhand data that somebody told you and presenting it as facts, and it's a delusion. Folks going way out into all this stuff about the Nephilim and CERN and portals and all this stuff. I see the stuff. I recognize what's being said. But the word of God is the anchor to any presentation, buddy. Not all that data, not all that research, not all these resources. You got Steve Quayle and Tom Horn telling you what people from the Pentagon are telling us about giants, and what people from the Pentagon are saying about this, and the Illuminati is being exposed from a man that was a general in high places. Hey, you can't go with that, man. If you speak not according to the law and the prophets, let you be accursed. I can't take any data coming from an ex-CIA agent as facts to be preached to people as reality and truth, because the devil can embed himself anywhere and tell you a black lie and you believe it and carry you down a rabbit hole of deception, going down into a delusion believing what a man told you. This Bible is an anchor to your soul. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what the Bible says. Don't get caught up in sideshow data that you cannot validate or verify. The Bible. How much do you spend time in the Bible? How much do you read the Bible? How much do you meditate on the Bible? How much do you pull apart the Bible? How much do you study to show yourself approved from the Bible? You better be saturated in this Bible. The Bible is an anchor that holds in a storm. Anything else is debatable. You have been warned. So you see now, unseasoned, young, children, season the microphone. Barbara showed me a video this morning of a little girl preaching to a church. She looked to be about 8 or 9 years old or whatever, trying to preach to everybody. That's real cute. But she don't know the first thing about this because she got no experience. A woman trying to tell a man how to be a man. I like to see the day you experience being a man to tell a man how to be a man. I like to see the day you had the feelings of a man embedded inside of your female body to know what a man feels and thinks. Get out of the way and leave these guys alone. Someone stomping around in high heels trying to preach at somebody. Little young girls trying to run around looking like Rihanna, trying to tell a guy how to live in church. Go somewhere and sit yourself down and stop making yourself look so silly. Patriarchs must be called back to the church. We need a man up manifesto. We need some men to step up to the plate to be leaders again, to be lawful authority in the body of Christ, to chasten the church, to make the church obedient to the dictates of Almighty God. The Lord will do what? Enter into judgment with whom? The old folk, the ones that know the way. He's entering into judgment with the old heads that are sitting there and letting this happen because you know better. He's entering into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, the lawful leaders. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses, Creflo Dollar. You took their stuff and you live in Hound the Hog and still beating them down to get a $70 million jet to this very day. And God is judging you while you're doing what you're doing. Miles Monroe flew into town in a jet and died in it. Telling a prosperity, positive confession, potentiality lie. A kingdom now lie. And you die flying in your private jet. Because it was a lie from hell. You don't like it? I'm sorry. You better change. Creflo Dollar is under final judgment and doesn't even know it. It's going to be so many judgments falling from heaven on folks now because they refuse to repent. And folk keep telling you, you need to pray for them. Well, Brother Price, why don't you go to him? Man, we've been in this thing 20 years, 30 years looking at this. Since 1984 when we got saved, Creflo Dollar was sitting in the church when we were out there ministering, when we got saved, me and Barbara walking the aisles casting out devils. He's sitting right there in 1984 and 85. That's 30 some odd years ago. Do you not know how many people have gone to him and told him he's in a delusion and he refused to repent? God's mercy extended for 30 years and you stoically refuse to the degree you go into madness asking people to buy a $70 million jet. You can't see that's a man gone mad. Lady sitting there with 3 kids out of wedlock, can't even pay her rent. And you telling this woman to contribute to you riding around in a $30 million jet with 2 Bentleys parked outside? You can't see that's madness. That's why it says the spoil of the poor is in your house. You see that $85,000 painting you got, man, that you got from Italy when you went over there on a missionary trip and you brought back in your private jet? That's the spoils of the poor hanging on the wall in your den, in your house, that God is going to judge you for. the spoils of the poor, the booty, the things you got from the poor are sitting up in gold in your house. I think it was George Meyer that had golden bathroom fixtures, a golden toilet. The spoils of the poor are in your house. What mean you that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Say of the Lord God of hosts, you're beating them down and taking their stuff, telling them you're going to be robbing God and you're going to hell if you don't pay your tithes. You whip them with your words until they're afraid not to give. But I'm going to, God is saying one thing very simply. I'm coming to see you, boy. Mm-hmm. I'll be around to see you, boy. Sodom and Gomorrah was around a long time. But guess what? God came strolling by Abraham's camp. Where you headed, God? I'm headed down to Sodom and Gomorrah. The cries of that city have come up before my throne. And I'm coming to see about this. God makes his rounds. You think Santa Claus makes rounds on Christmas Eve? No, buddy. God makes his rounds. He's on his way to see you. And the Bible says, because God doesn't respond in judgment immediately, wherefore a man's heart is set to do his iniquity. Because God doesn't come to judge you immediately, you think, what? I got away, and my riches prove I'm right. And the riches are actually the evidence of your damnation. God doesn't think like you and me. God will let your own devices and your own sin find you out. Just when you thought you got away, just when you thought it was safe to go in the water, guess what? Jaws. Doggone jaws. God is on his way. He's going to judge the righteous and the wicked. Look what's happening. These women have taken over. They're running everything. Oprah is our queen. Paula White is the queen of the church. Juanita Bynum is our master. Trim is our diva. Beyonce is our goddess. Rihanna is our queen. Bless God, Nicki Minaj. She's deified as Lord and Master of my soul. Here's a depiction of them right here in the Bible. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, they're proud, and walk around with what? You ever see somebody proud that got their neck stretched up, just looking down their nose at you? Just that's what he's talking about. And you got what? Wanton eyes. What are wanton eyes? Wandering, seductive eyes. Looking for what? Victims. Whether they be male or female. You don't know a diva, a dyke spirit, and a butch spirit, and a witchcraft working spirit has no gender. They'll seduce a woman quicker than they'll seduce a man. So they stand there in high heels at the church, the pastor's wife, the first lady. And the women become enthralled by her and begin to give her things. Buying her clothes, buying her shoes, buying her spa days. The women bow down to the queen of the church, the first lady. Watch how people speak in terms of almost some type of a weird, freaked out lust or desire for these folk. Child, that's the first lady right there. Look at that mink she got on. What you got on? Your brother's t-shirt, because I can't afford no mink. I got on my brother's t-shirt that he wore in the army. I know it's 20 degrees down here, but she got a mink. That's real mink, too. But you got on I'm not a first lady. And, you know, I want my pastor's wife to look good. They always talk like that. My reps, my ambassadors to look good. A pastor's appreciation day. A first lady's anniversary. All this stuff can be defined by one word: garbage. You go to a garbage dump calling the church, groveling at the feet of these dumbbells that you've exalted over you, and God doesn't even know they exist. There is no first lady. It doesn't even exist in the economy of God. It's made up. It's manufactured by these Jezebel queens that want to rule over you. Wanton eyes, searching out victims, walking and mincing as they go and make a tinkling with their feet. Why they got tinkling feet? Because they got on ankle chains, whore chains around their ankles. An ankle chain is a whore chain. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab. He's going to give you a bald head on your big head. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. He's going to pull your dress up and show folk how nasty you are. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel. You got a big wardrobe. We're going to take all that away from you. And the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell and that Christian Dior perfume you're wearing and that Givenchy you got on, you're going to stink. Because when you got those sores on your private parts and those herpes breakouts are inside of you, you're going to stink like a dog walking around. Instead of a sweet smell that perfume cannot bathe, there's going to be a stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent, it's going to be a tear. And instead of a well-set hair, you're going to be bald. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth and burning instead of beauty, as that STD burns your guts out of you. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. The war with the devil is consuming the men. And her gates shall amend and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to wake up, take away our reproach. And I think some virgins say, take away our reproach or shame for not being married. They're begging a man to marry them. We'll eat our own bread. We'll buy our own clothes. Only marry me. You got women right now getting on their knees and giving a man a ring, begging the man to marry them. The man has become a little whore, and the woman has become a big, rusty, stank man, kneeling down to ask a man's hand in holy matrimony. This makes you want to go outside in the back there in that creek and vomit. And folks try to justify it. Can I see the young actress had her husband take her last name? Yeah. What's her name? Zoe Saldana. And her husband gets her last name. I need to take him out back and get some boxing gloves and beat him. But you look at him, looks at you like a girl with long hair draped down. His hair longer than hers is. Women are comfortable with a feminine guy. The more sissy and tender he is, the more compatible he is to most women. That's a curse pronounced on women who have fallen into this curse. I call it the SBW curse. The strong black woman. I'm a strong black woman, and I need a strong black man who can handle me. Nobody is studying you. Nobody wants you. You a nasty dyke inside that no man wants. You ain't a strong black woman. You a rusty, stank, black, garbage man. There are 40.8 million blacks in this country, about 12% of the population. Black women head 29% of the black households. 67% of black children are born out of wedlock. 29% of the black women live under the poverty rate. 48% of black women have never been married. 26% of the black women are currently married. 13% of those marriages end in divorce. Black women are 51% of the black population, letting you know that for every 1,000 black folk, if you got half of them, then 51% of those people, or over half, are women. Letting you know that there are not enough men to even marry the black women. Think about what I'm saying. If you break it down, out of 1 million folk, that means the numbers begin to exponentially grow as you get more of the population involved. So you got 510,000 women for every 490,000 men. So you got women outweighing the men by 2,000 for every 1 million groups of black folk. You can't have enough men to marry. It won't happen. Now we got to begin to crank in the homosexuals, the guys in jail, the drug addicts, the illiterate, the drunks, the perverts, the weirdos, the kooks, the misogynists that hate women. And you're a woman, you probably don't have anybody. And I can fathom to absolutely be sure that the numbers line up somewhere around 7 to 1. How do I know? Because this Bible just told me that 7 women will try to get 1 man to get away from the reproach that's bathing their lives. Go to the local restaurant at night and watch them sitting around the bar with legs dangling in the aisles with those high heels on and those mini skirts. Sitting there talking to an old 65-year-old toothless wonder, and you 25 years old. He's sitting there looking like Otis Campbell or Red Fox off of that show. What's that show with Red Fox? The Sanford. Fred Sanford sitting at the bar talking about, can you buy me a drink? You buying Fred Sanford a drink, getting married to Fred Sanford, and moving into a junkyard to get a man. 25-year-old baby dolls, professional women, MBAs, sitting at the bar like an old hoochie mama by night, trying to get any drag to say boo to them, hello, how you doing, anything. A 65-year-old toothless wonder, snagglepuss. Tell me, this is my man, we getting married. And you gave him a ring. Had to bring him up to the altar in a wheelchair to marry. And you still talking about I'm a strong black woman. Look at some of these folks talking about being a strong black woman. Look who they really will. Look at Stedman. Look at some of these guys that are more feminine than the woman is. You a strong black woman. Oh, that's your man right there. Tyler Perry, that's your man. Okay, all right. Okay, gotcha. Okay, I see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beyonce, Jay-Z, that's your man? Yeah, that's my man. Okay, Kim Kardashian, that's Kanye West, that's your man. Oh, the guy over in the skirt, that's your man? Yeah, that's my man. Will Smith chasing this boy real well, wearing a dress to the prom. That's your daddy. Kissing you full on the mouth, that's your daddy? That's your man. This is pathetic. Strong black women stumbling around still won't acknowledge God's order and will take it to the grave, will die alone with a barren womb before I acknowledge the order of the living God. 30% of the chlamydia cases, black women, 6 times the number of white women. Congenital syphilis, out of every 100,000 cases in the black community, 29.6 of them are black women. Congenital syphilis. 39.7% of syphilis cases, black women. Of all the HIV cases, 44% of them are black folks. 29% of them are women. 64% of all HIV cases that are women are black women. 64%. And the majority of them come from heterosexual relationships with down low men that are bisexual. You have an unprotected sex. You know why it's so prevalent? Because you are perverse in your sexual activity and can engage in oral sex and anal sex. Because you lay down with a man that's a homosexual, he's going to want to sodomize you. He don't like vaginal sex. He still got an appetite for anal sex and oral sex like he will with one of his down low homosexual brethren. And now the women are getting turned out because they want a man so bad, I'm willing to do anything he wants me to do to be with him. And the man's a freak. Ask Vanity back in the day with Prince. Ask the Mary Jane girls with Rick James. Ask them what happened to them. Ask Vanity about how Prince had her be with other women, pumping her full of cocaine, turning into a bisexual, laying around with other women in the bed. Look at Prince. That's a gal. First album he made, riding around on a white horse, butt naked. Been a gal his whole life. They begin to feed that feminine man into a woman's spirit with Prince and Michael Jackson, the DeBarge family, Time, who that was an offshoot of Prince's bands, and it came from Prince's little entourage, the Time, Morris Day and the Time. All these guys with long, wavy, processed hair, eye makeup on, looking just like Gail. And the women began to buy into the feminine man as a normal man. And to this day, is at a fever pitch. A young girl today doesn't even feel comfortable around a man unless he's a girl. If he has any masculine character about him, they're offended by him. I walked into an office not too long ago and asked the reception a question. The receptionist a question. She flinched. So, oh. She said, you can take a little bass out of your voice, don't you? I said, ma'am, I talk like I talk. I'm not trying to talk to you in any kind of an overbearing way. I'm talking to you like a regular guy asking you a question. I don't know what your problem is. She looked at me like I was gone. She was ready to come out that from behind that desk. And I believe she would have fought me. Like George Foreman or somebody. I mean, Muhammad Ali. You would dare. No man talks to me. What tone of voice? You talk to them like a regular, everyday guy and a woman. You don't have to be yelling at me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm telling you with authority what I want you to know. That's the way it goes. And I ain't changing it one inch for nobody. A lady came to the ministry one time with her daughter and her son-in-law. She left the ministry and told her daughter-in-law, her daughter and her son-in-law, I don't say how y'all listen to him. He talks like some kind of a military sergeant or something, like he's some kind of a drill sergeant. I'm going to let any man talk to me like that. It wasn't 6 months that woman and her daughter had got that guy out of here. And you know what the guy told another guy? Man, I know it's true, but I can't fight my wife and my mother-in-law too. I'll abdicate my manhood, leave my testicles at the door, and walk away from it. Man, you're not worth the dust it took to make you. If you let a Jezebel spirit drive you away from God, you're not worth the dust it took for God to form you up and make you. Somewhere you got to make a stand as a man. If everybody leave you, walk alone. Folks said, what about my wife? Were you given a wife from birth? She a Jezebel spirit, don't want God. She don't want you. Because you got to be what? A man of God. I'm a man of God. I stand on the principles of God. If you don't want God, you won't want me. And the Bible says the believer is not bound in such cases. That's the Bible verbatim. You didn't leave them. They left you. Because they were leaving God's authority, God's kingdom, God's patriarchal anointing, God's fatherhood. It offended them because they had been programmed to walk in matriarchy. They've been matronized. We got another message on our website entitled The Matronized Mind. When your mind is matronized, any of the dictates, any of the characteristics of a man will become offensive to you. Even his voice will offend you. And most women today in today's society have been matronized. They sit and listen to The View all day. Matronized. They listen to Kelly Ripa talk that empty-headed gibberish all day and become matronized. They watch the pretty girls on the newscast, matronizing them. Now you go to ESPN and they cover the NBA finals. Who's heading up the team and giving all the dictates on the broadcast? A little woman sitting there telling you about how to be an NBA player and what the NBA player should be doing, and then interviewing the guys to give inputs to her as she's the authority figure. Who is interviewing LeBron James on the floor? A woman is standing there with a microphone interviewing this tough, rough basketball player about how it was played down in the post tonight and the elbows that you took in your groin and all the elbow smashes you took to the head, if she understands it. Who's on the sideline of the NFL game? A woman, a pretty blonde girl there trying to interview the star quarterback, interview the coach, and trying to give you input about playing a linebacker in the NFL. This is ridiculous, man. Man, you're a chauvinist. I'm a realist. Have you ever played linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, ma'am? No. What do you know about it? Nothing. What are you talking about then? It's matronizing everybody. So now the guys will tell you, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, a woman, you know, she's able to do these things too. You know, a woman has intellect. A woman has, you know what a woman has? She got a vagina between her legs that you won't. That's what she got. That's why you're going along with it. That vagina has incapacitated you, so you got no stand on in you. You were castrated inside the confines of the vaginal cavity, and now you got no testicles because you left them in that vagina you laid around in. And now you walk around a depleted, wimpy, testosterone gone. No testosterone. Empty tanks. And you walk around just a pile of mush. Unable to stand for God and against God's adversaries because you were castrated by a Jezebel witchcraft working whore that took your manhood from you. I wish it was pretty. I wish it was nice. I wish it was sweet, but it ain't. What's happening? God comes to do three things to us. He reproves us. What is reproving you, criticizing, and correcting you? He rebukes you. He expresses a sharp disapproval of you. And then he encourages you through exhortation. I told you this last week. He reproves, he rebukes, and he exhorts to build up his body. You got to be corrected to be built up. He got to cut out what's unnecessary and what's detrimental to add in what's beneficial. He takes away that which is destroying you. And then he brings back in through exhortation that which will build you up. He only cuts you down to build you up. Jesus had to be crucified to be resurrected. He got to crucify to bring alive. He got to kill off the thing that is binding you and that is detrimental to your progression in order to set you out and take you further on in the journey. You can't walk away from something that you're tied up to. He got to break the holes on you. The anointing does what? Breaks the yoke. He's breaking the yoke that's binding you to this world to take you to heaven. The strong black woman syndrome, it's a curse. It's a curse. How does it play itself out? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know the story, David and Goliath. I'm going to show you some snapshots, some vignettes from this story to show you what happens to a man that sells his birthright for feminine domination over him. Remember now, Goliath came out to meet the armies of God led by Saul. Saul was the commander, but he was a rebel against God. So everything in Saul as a leader was transferred to his troops. The Philistines, it says in chapter 17, verse 1 of 1 Samuel, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Paul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. The word Goliath means an exile, somebody that's been exiled. He was Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span is basically 11 feet and 10 inches. He was about 12 feet tall. You know, Gath is the root word for Gethsemane. He was Goliath of the wine press. The word Gath means a wine press. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. Brass always represents the flesh. He was a fleshly minded person. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. 5,000 shekels of flesh. This boy was bathed in flesh. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Look how everything represents the flesh. Now all he got is brass on. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went out before him, his armor bearer. You know what you are down at the church in front of that Goliath in the pulpit you call a pastor? That's where the flesh pot Goliath is. He's in the pulpit, and here you are carrying a shield for him as an armor bearer and in the ministry. You've been made a fool out of. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? He didn't say nothing about God now. He was choosing his words very carefully and wisely. He was identifying them with Saul so they would be separated from God. I come out representing the Philistines. You come out representing Saul. Not God. Saul. That's where people abound right now. They belong to churches that have the man's personality deified as God. And they'll ask you, don't you go to so-and-so? They'll name the person's church. You go to Ron Johnson's church. Don't you go to Pastor Stevenson's church? Don't you go? What about the church of Jesus Christ? What about the Lord? Oh, I don't know nothing about the Lord. I just know about church identification based on the man's name. I'm a member of Pastor Stevenson's tribe versus your tribe. So you have skirmishes all around the city, tribal skirmishes based on personality cults that worship some stupid preacher. And they walk around as boobs in the battle, totally undermined and destroyed by Goliath when he comes out to confront. Look at this. Your servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy. This is where we're at right now, man. This devil is in your face, pointing that bony cherubim angel finger in your face, saying, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a what?
Man.
Give me a man. You sissies, send out a man if you can find one. What's he absolutely sure of? There is no man. That's why he had to talk so big and bad. Because a man of God full of the Holy Ghost is unconquerable. He's an adversary that cannot be overcome. But he knows you serve Saul, and your guts have been torn out of you, and you got no fight. So he says, I defy you. send me a man. This is so revealing about what's happening right now, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of these 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 elders followed Saul. The 3 eldest followed Saul. Notice how it's always the young man that is the ram in the bush. Most of these church folk have gone after Saul. They follow the status quo in religion. Older folks sitting in church bathed in that religious garbage that's got them bound. Now you got another young crew that comes in with hip hop shackled to their backs. They're bound. That old group is accepting them because they're not a threat. Why? They're in the flesh. So you brought your fleshly generational curse in here with us, but it don't offend us because it's not the Spirit of God. So we welcome hip hop as a new way to reach this generation, because you got on what? The armor of brass. You're wearing flesh, and you're not going to stop Goliath. So the devil opens his arms and has a youth night every Friday for the hip hop guys to travel around and minister to the people, the stinking flesh, to keep them bound and soulish. I know what I'm talking about. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. See how he's dealing with the sheep and feeding the sheep. At Bethlehem, which is the city of bread. What is this indicative of? Unselfish. Not taking care of himself. Not trying to get a position. I'm out here kissing Saul's butt, trying to brown nose my way into becoming the assistant pastor. You can't see this in these guys? So they don't like you. You come proclaiming the word of God, not trying to brown nose somebody to move up to be Saul's right hand man. You come in the name of the Lord of hosts to feed God's sheep selflessly. But I'm looking out for me. And how do I please Creflo that I can get myself an $800,000 salary and be on the board to vote for his Learjet because I'm one of his men? Hiding behind some kind of a board that he set up that will always sign off on his dictates, because he knows before they're placed on the board, they've been castrated and got no guts and won't stand up against that tripe he tries to promote. You got to make sure you got sissy boys first before you do anything, because they'll sign off on what you want. I don't want no guys around me like that. You want a man that's a man in his own right, that makes his own call. He's given authority and his responsibility. I don't have to talk to you again. I don't have to see you again. Forget you. You do what you're called to do and leave me alone.